Chapter 17. Idolica, Alcazar Astra.
First Captain Garthas is dead, my lord. Say again, auditorium, say again.
With the megabolters and Gatling blasters back to their raucous cacophony, and the gunship Escortier hovering above the void ramparts like a thunderous guardian angel, Captain Maximus Thane couldn't make Brother Zerberin out.
First Captain Garthas is dead,
the Honorarius repeated solemnly across the private vox channel. Maximus Thane heard the words, but he took a moment to process them.
How? Was all he could think to say. Fortress Monastery North picked captures. Record the first captain's victory over the invaders' breach force,
Zerberin reported.
Yes, brother. Lord Garthas was inspecting the dead and voxing new orders for Captain Zontagu and his fists,
the Honor Guard Space Marine said.
One of the savages, a boarder, a hull breacher, still breathed in the first captain's presence. It was alive when its injuries dictated it should not be. Continue, Brother Zerberin. It detonated the hull-cracking breach charge it carried, taking Lord Garthas and his Honor Guard with it,
the Honorarius said.
Their plate could not protect them from such a charge. Lord Garthas was found, but the chief apothecary said he could not be saved.
Thane stared bitterly out across the churning ocean of green-skinned savagery that continued to roll up across the shattered void plating of the Alcazar Astra. Despite a full Idolican night of fighting, despite the taking of life in ghastly swathes and the metal of Dawn's suns being put sorely to the test, the green invader came still. The attack moon had blanket-bombed the Idolican dark side with rocks and crash transports. Hulks and landers still rocketed into the black desert world dunes, vomiting forth alien barbarians, their brief thunderbolt transit rattling and shaking them into a bottomless fury. No matter how many enemy lives the Fist's exemplar took in the name of their dead chapter masters and Primarch, the orc attack moon supplied more. Master Aloysian had been as good as his word. Despite his doubts, the Master of the Forge had used his skills and prayers to bring the Starfort's only operational plasma drive to explosive life. The mighty engine column, that as one of four would have helped transport and maneuver the mighty Alcazar Astra in system, blasted the Fortress Monastery from its sandy foundations, turning the black desert to obsidian about it. As Master Aloysian had faithfully predicted, the Starfort did not ascend. It inclined. Rising on the transept east engine column, everything not maglocked to the gore-slick void plating began to slip and tumble away. Fifth Captain Tyrion watched as thousands of green-skinned savages fell away from the edge of the void hull and down into the plasma drive-roasted sands. Creatures skidded and slid towards the company's chain blades and bolt guns, allowing the Adeptus Astartes to end them with ease. With their boots firmly locked to the metal deck, Zontagu, Captain of the Eighth, and his company cut through the monstrosities, roaring and clawing uselessly past them. Captain Castriel and his scout marines secured themselves to the gargoyle-esque architecture of Fortress Monastery North. When the deck began to rumble and tilt, the scouts picked off beasts from the plummeting masses with their sniper rifles over the pauldrons of their Ninth Company brothers. For Thane and the Second Company, the Sea of Green receded at the captain's command. One moment, Thane and Apothecary Raoc were back to back, carving and blasting pieces off gargantuan alien thugs. The next, the deck was empty, but for the dripping statues of Fist's exemplar, splattered in alien gore and maglocked to the inclining deck. Monsters scraped, scrambled, and scratched at the hull plating and each other, furious that gravity should drag them away from their quarry. Claws and weapons failed to provide purchase when sunk into the blood-smeared armor plating, and those monsters desperate and fast enough to grab something and hold on were swiftly blasted from their ledges by nearby space marines. As soon as the guns on the void ramparts re-established their firing protocols and the Thunderhawks assumed a similar suppression role above the helmets of the Fist's exemplar, Thane ordered Master Aloysian to gently reduce thrust and allow the plasma engine to take them back to the sands. The strategy had succeeded. Despite shattering the Fortress Monastery's superstructure further and rending great rifts in its void plating and architecture, the Starfort had been denied to the greenskin invader. Both Space Marines and deck guns were replenished with precious ammunition from the fort's armory vaults, and for the hours of darkness that followed, the innumerable invaders were kept at murderous ballistic range. Chapter serfs returned to the ramparts with ammunition and supplies, while Apothecary Ryok took the opportunity to down the chainblade that had wreaked such horrific wounds on others, and look instead to the wounds that had been visited on his brothers by the enemy. Hours passed. About the void deck perimeter, a wall of greenskin carcasses steamed. Deck ordnance and gunships thundered. Bolt guns blazed. Mist banks of gore drifted through the desert darkness. The greenskin invaders died in their droves. They kept coming, however. Something primordial and predacious drew them across the dunes to their death. Hourly, their numbers were replenished by new monsters, raining down on Idolica in a shower of wanton conquest. Hulking creatures, fresh in their bestial rage, salivating through tusk-crowded maws and fixing the growing silhouette of the Alcazar Astral with their beady eyes. The silhouette was growing, because the Fist's exemplar and second Captain Maximus Thane, ranking officer on the void ramparts, and now ranking officer aboard the Starfort itself, had reached their objective. The Idolican Dawn. The razor-blade sliver of Frankenthal's star, the system sun that had once threatened to swallow the fortress monastery whole, was reaching over the distant western dunes. Even with such a meagre shaft of intense light cutting across the skies, the Fist's exemplar homeworld was revealed. In the still air and black deserts of Idolica, the eye travelled far. An Adeptus Astartes sight travelled even further. Promethium wells raged at the heavens, belching black, oily smoke skywards. Little could be seen of the Idolican black sands about the fortress monastery. As far as a space marine could see, there were monsters, a sea of alien ferocity swamping the deserted sands with their filthy presence. The dawnlight drew a conqueror's roar from the beasts, and the air trembled with their intention to bring slaughter to the Starfort's defenders. Further to the south, across the green sea of doom, rocks and hulks streaked into the Promethium fields, thudding into the sands and killing their own, only for twice the number of dead to flood from the crude transits. Between swarms of junk landers descended larger greenskin droppers and tractor tugs, all magna grapnels, beam anchors, and rocket engines. These ungainly transports lacked the thunderbolt impatience of other crash transits. Instead, they lowered colossal engines of war to the distant planet surface. Brute representations of greenskin gods and their beast warlord, crafted from mountains of scrap and crude engineering. His suit's auto-senses detected the breeze. Maximus Thane nodded to himself. The rising sun brought with it the movement of air.
"Companies," Thane called across the open vox channel, "conserve ammunition. Cease fire."
The chatter of bolter gun died on the wind, swiftly followed by the accompanying boom of Thunderhawk guns and deck ordnance. No longer held back by a wall of skull-shattering bolt rounds, the greenskins clawed their way over their dead and thundered up the void deck to meet their enemy. Their blades glinted dully, rude and unblooded. Their weaponry crashed wildly at the defenders, showering the deck with sparks and ricochets. Their tusks parted, and raucous calls of pure animal aggression built to a rising crescendo in their barrel chests. The ramparts trembled with their bootfalls. With bolt guns silent about them, the Fist's exemplar stared down their hated enemy. No gauntlet grabbed for sword or pistol. No battle brother moved from his position on the armored hull. The invader drew close. The wildfire from their guns drew closer. Axes, mauling blades, and chain choppers came up. The monsters dribbled like mongrels at the expectation of brutality and violence barbarically realized. Three thunderous strides away. Two. One. The tentative twilight of dawn was no more. Great shafts of sunlight erupted over the horizon. Idolica had turned. Day had broken on the desert world. Night, usually a time of industriousness and mass production across the Promethium fields and worksteads, had turned to glorious day. Usually the radiance harvesters and photovoltaic enclosures would take over, harnessing the benefits of Idolica's proximity to its parent star. They now sat in shattered, silvery shards on the black desert sands in the wake of the greenskin hordes. The sun rose. The dunes about the Alcazar Astra stood naked before the intense heat and radiation of Frankenthal's star. The temperature leapt, and the sands were baked black in thermonuclear brilliance. The desert world turned, leaving the attack moon behind, and the system's sun began its ascendancy, its dominion absolute in the Idolican skies. Maximus Thane's helmet optics introduced filters to protect the captain's engineered eyes. Everything became brilliant and white. The enemy hordes became as one, a jagged silhouette, a black wall against the brightness, all tusks, spiked armor, and serrated weaponry. First, there was flame. Anything combustible on the invaders' bodies, rudimentary clothing, decorative skins, and heavy leathers, burned. The intense radiation roasted their tough flesh to charcoal and cooked through their organs. By the time Frankenthal's star had done with them, and the green-skinned beasts reached Maximus Thane and his Fist's exemplar battle line, they were no more than soot and ash, carried away on the breeze. The Adeptus Astartes stood out on the void ramparts for a few moments longer, their paintless plate seared in the light storm to a chromatic burnishment. "Companies," Thane called across the Vox channel, "to the Fortress Monastery!" The silhouettes and shadows of statuesque space marines turned in the still inferno. They stomped through the blinding brightness back to their bays, hangars, and barbican locks, where Thane ordered the Starfort's blast shields down. Great metal shields and defences that would have been used against the Green Invader had the situation made it necessary, closed, protecting the Alcazar Astra's openings and observation ports from the radiation and roasting indifference of Frankenthal's star during the deadly Idolican day. With the Starfort's shields down and carrying the burden of a full night's battle and bloodshed, it would have been tempting for the Fist's exemplar to return to their cells for rest and cult observances. But there was simply too much to do. The Fortress Monastery had taken a battering, and it would take more than the full day of radiant preservation they had to repair and fortify it in readiness for the fresh and endless onslaught of enemy forces the next night. On the Idolican night side, 7th Captain Dentor still fought the enemy on the Tharkis Flats. During the stellar disruption of daytime, Vox transmissions were not possible, but Maximus Thane trusted that Dentor would take refuge in the substeds and ancient cave networks of the Great Basin, waiting out the enemy as they roasted in the rolling Idolican dawn. As the captain and Mendel Rayok strode through the launch bays between the anchored Thunderhawks, Thane turned to his apothecary. "I give thanks for you, brother," Thane told Rayok. "Thanks for your nerve and tenacity. Thanks for your good counsel," the captain managed a half-smile. "And mostly, thanks for the skill of that damned sword arm." Rayok paused and looked to his captain and friend. With a vox grill from mouth, the apothecary had no smile to return. It was plain he struggled with such appreciation.
"I give thanks for the dawn," Rayok said. "I suspect I'll be needed in the apothecarium."
As the launch bay blast doors boomed to a close behind them, Rayok peeled off to the left.
"You, Master Thane, will be needed in the tactical auditorium."
"I'm not Chapter Master," Maximus Thane said. The captain was superstitious about such things, but with Alameda and Garthas dead, he was next in the chain of command.
"Might as well be," Rayok said. "With or without the title, the burden of responsibility is just the same."
Thane found Honorarius Zerberin in the auditorium. The Fist exemplar was a mess of rent armor, dressings, and stapled wounds. He had bled over the auditorium floor, which a serf was addressing with mop and bucket.
"Captain,"
Zerberin greeted him. Thane pursed his lips.
"We have not always seen eye to eye," Thane said finally.
"Captain,
I have had cause at times to deem you officious, lacking in humility and overly ambitious," the captain said.
The honor guard space marine's eyes fell. but you are capable, and served both Master Alameda and the First Captain well. And, as ranking Adeptus Astartes, I will have sore need of you also. Would you consent to remain on as my honorarius? For the Fist's exemplar now have but one, and the emissary of my intentions? Zerberin, whose features were used to hiding some petty notion or unspoken grievance, simply gave the captain a nod of respect and reassurance. It would be my honour to serve you, sir, in whatever way I can. Thank you, brother, Thane said. Would you begin by asking the chaplain to attend me in Master Alameda's chambers? I shall need his guidance. Then assemble both the fortress masters and company captains here in the tactical auditorium. Summon Sergeant Anatok in place of Captain Hieronymax, Sergeant Hawk for the second company. I shall need a status report from the chief apothecary on the number of dead and wounded as soon as possible, and also have the chapter standard bearer report to me. Brother Byzander is dead, my lord, Zerberin informed him. Thane nodded. I'm sorry for that, the captain said. Send for my own bearer, Brother Aquino, in his stead. Right away, sir. Then get yourself to Apothecary Rayok to address your injuries, Thane ordered the Space Marine. If he is half as good at closing wounds as opening them, you should be in good hands.